Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We begin our broadcast this morning, Midwest Apocalypse. 1 million acres of U.S. farmland devastated by floods. This is from Prophecy News Network. We have never seen anything like this before. According to satellite data that was just released by Reuters, at least 1 million acres of U.S. farmland were covered by water for at least 7 days this past month of March. That is an agricultural disaster without equal in modern American history. And yet the mainstream media is treating this like it is some sort of second-class story. It isn't. This is the biggest news story of 2019 so far, and people want to know what is going on. A few days ago, I posted a story entitled, As Many as a Million Calves Lost in Nebraska, Beef Prices in the U.S. to Escalate Dramatically in the Coming Months, and it has already been shared on social media more than 145,000 times. Well, farming communities all over the central part of the nation now look like war zones as a result of all this flooding, but the media elites on the East and West Coast don't want to write about it. And with more flooding on the way for the next 2 months, this crisis is only going to get worse. This is the time of year when farmers are gearing up to plant wheat, corn, and soybeans. And now a substantial portion of our farmland will not be able to be used at all this year. According to Reuters, at least 1 million acres of farmland were covered by floodwaters for at least 7 days this month, and that will likely reduce corn, wheat, and soy production this year. Again, at least 1 million acres, that's 405,000 hectares of U.S. farmland were flooded after the bomb cyclone storm left wide swaths of 9 major grain-producing states underwater this month. Satellite data analyzed by Grow Intelligence for Reuters showed. Now, farms from the Dakotas to Missouri and beyond have been underwater for a week or more, possibly impeding planting and damaging soil. The floods, which came just weeks before planting season starts in the Midwest, will likely reduce corn, wheat, and soy production this year. And with as many as 1 million calves lost to the flooding, a lot less food than anticipated is going to be produced in the United States for the foreseeable future. Wow, between March 8th and March 21st, almost 1.1 million acres of cropland and over 84,000 acres of pasture land were covered by water. With more rain on the way, it is essentially going to be impossible for most of those acres to be usable this year. Now, in Iowa, 474,271 acres were covered by floodwaters for at least 7 days in March, and Iowa farmers are facing some very tough deadlines. Corn must be planted by May 31st, and soybeans must be planted by June 15th in order to qualify for flood insurance. For most Iowa farms that were covered by floodwaters, that is going to be impossible. Overall, the recent flooding caused at least $3 billion in economic damage, according to authorities, but many believe that the final number will be far higher. Thousands upon thousands of farms have been completely destroyed. Thousands upon thousands of farmers will not plant any crops at all this year. In addition to the vast agricultural devastation that we have witnessed, thousands upon thousands of homes have been destroyed as well. And now the National Groundwater Association is warning that, quote, the safety of more than a million private water wells could be compromised. While record flooding in the Midwest is now threatening the safety of more than a million private water wells, the National Groundwater Association estimates that people living in more than 300 counties across 10 states have their groundwater threatened from bacterial and industrial contamination carried by flood waters. So if you live in the middle of the country and there is a chance that your well may have been compromised, don't take any unnecessary chances. Contaminated water can be really, really bad news. Now, unfortunately, this is just the beginning. According to the NOAA, we are entering an unprecedented flood season that could potentially impact an even bigger area of cropland. So spring floods could yet impact an even bigger area of cropland. The U.S. government's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has warned of what could be an unprecedented flood season. As it's forecast heavy spring rains, rivers may swell further as a deep snowpack in northern growing areas melts. Well, folks, this is also 200 million people at risk. And the thing we're hearing on the news this morning is the number one news crisis in our country is the border. And the president is now threatening to shut down the border south of our country, the southern border, to shut it down because of the area, the issues going on. Meanwhile, there's a big debate to get the Mueller report subpoenaed by the Democrats, and we have all the political shenanigans going on once again. And we look around and we just ask ourselves, what is this that's going on, this big wall thing? And, you know, it's really sad to me. I don't know if it's been sad to you or if it's occurred to you that we have literally witnessed, if you've been following this broadcast about a month or maybe 2 months ago, you know, I said that there's going to be a great strike against the heart of our nation. And, you know, that has so many different avenues through which it can flow, but there would be something that would be heartbreaking, that the nation would be, and it doesn't appear that the nation is heartbroken over this, but it is interesting that the heart of the nation, you get to Nebraska, Iowa, I mean, the very center of our country, and we've had a major strike. I mean, and it's huge, and why isn't anybody reporting on it? So that's how I wanted to begin the broadcast today. We should have our dear friend from Australia waiting to join me online. Daniel Seckham is joining us from the great country of Australia. We're going to say good morning to him. Actually, good evening. God bless you, Daniel. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air, sir.
Well, it's good to be back. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. A little jealous when I saw you guys having such a fun time over in Australia, and I knew that you were carrying Tim Tams, and I just thought to myself, you know, this is unjust.
Life can be really unfair, can't it?
It can be. It can be. Hey, what's going on in your neck of the woods, Daniel Seckham?
Well, I'm really pleased to say that we will be going from daylight savings back to normal time, which means that I will be able to call you from a much saner time. So instead of calling in at 1 a.m. in the morning, I'll be calling in at midnight, which so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. When does that happen for you?
Well, that happens this coming weekend. So next week I'll be a lot more sprightler.
Yeah, I like that. Sprightler is good. That's a new word. And praise God for new words. Like Donald Trump, you're naming things. Sprightler is good.
Yeah.
Well, on a more serious note, we've got so much time, and the information that you have is so important to our listeners today. At the top of your list, what do you see as most important for this moment going on in our world?
Well, I think it's interesting. One of the things I think we should touch on is the length that big tech is going to, or not just big tech, the length that the left is really going to suppress and silence conservatives, especially with what we saw with the latest movie by Pure Films called Unplanned. I don't know whether any of you have seen that. I certainly haven't seen it because it's not released here in Australia. But Unplanned has been making waves, and if you're not sure what that is, it's Unplanned is the movie about Abby, I think her name is Abby Williams or something. But she was a Planned Parenthood worker, Abby Johnson, sorry. She was a Planned Parenthood worker, and basically this is all about her story with how what she witnessed caused her to become pro-life. And so this movie, and this is the same filmmakers who created God Is Not Dead. So they created this movie with a $6 million budget, and they've done an incredible job, but not without hurdles. So the first hurdle they had to face is that the American Motion Picture Association gave it an R rating. They gave it an R rating, which is really ridiculous from what I have heard. But the second thing that has taken place is that TV networks refused to give the movie advertising space on their TV channels. So NBC, ABC, you name it, every American, except for Fox News, by the way, except for Fox, refused to offer the movie advertising space to promote the film. And the third thing that happened was that Twitter banned their official Twitter account. So they were currently at 7,000. They were at 7,000 before their account was suspended, and then their account got suspended. There was an outcry, people protested, and so they reinstated it. Now, as a result of that, people got wind of what was happening. They heard about how this film was being suppressed so much, and people started following the Twitter page, and now it has gone from 7,000 to 338,000. Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, absolutely. And we just got a text from a friend that said they saw the movie last night and said it was absolutely awesome. Actually, last night I saw a trailer of it. It's wonderful that you're bringing this up. Please.
Yeah, well, what's extraordinary is that the Unplanned official Twitter account now has more followers than Planned Parenthood itself.
That's awesome.
Isn't it? It's absolutely fantastic.
You know, doesn't that kind of show that, the tail has been wagging the dog for quite some time, and everybody was under the illusion that, this was the majority movement? They say in that trailer I saw that Planned Parenthood was the most powerful organization on the planet And yet you're saying now that there's more viewership of this unplanned and followers than Planned Parenthood itself.
Exactly. You know, and it's interesting. When I had dinner with Congressman Louis Gohmert in October last year, he said to me that there is no reason that the U.S. government should be funding Planned Parenthood because they can justifiably function on their own. They don't need taxpayer funding. They absolutely don't need it. But they, the left have, what they have done, they have made the American taxpayer complicit in their evil by forcing American taxpayers to fund it, which I think is absolutely horrendous. And every American should be absolutely outraged by that and do everything they possibly can to defund, stop the American government from funding Planned Parenthood. Okay. President Trump, by the way, has gone to great lengths. He's done some amazing things in preventing Planned Parenthood from getting any more money. But there's still a lot more work to be done, which I would imagine that we would see more and more of in the coming months and years ahead. One of the things I thought was pretty interesting with what he did, which I thought was wonderful of him, was the fact that he diverted $5 million that would have been earmarked to go to Planned Parenthood, and instead he actually sent it to a pro-life women's clinic. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So instead of sending the $5 million to Planned Parenthood, he sent it to a pro-life women's clinic, which is absolutely fantastic of him. You know, I don't think America has really had a pro-life president as much as they do in Donald Trump. And that's really saying something. That's, you know, and no wonder the left hate him as much as that they do. So to where credit's due.
Always, always. And I'm so glad you brought up unplanned. You know, we know that 500 million abortions, we don't know the exact numbers of how many babies have been killed and whether that was a population control mandate or people are concerned about, are we going to have enough food to eat? And then you look over in Nebraska, you know, they have these major problems going on. And we have problems going on all over this country all the time. And yet in the midst of this, we hit these sweet spots once in a while, because I know a lot of people in this country didn't want to pay their taxes who were good, moral, conservative people, and they just made decisions along the way. They weren't going to pay taxes to support abortion. And it's kind of reminded me of the book of Acts, where the disciples cried out and said, hey, whether it's right to you or not, you know, the word of God tells us not to support these things. And so, you know, people were more afraid of what men could do to them rather than their, you know, their conscience before God. So how does, you know, an American taxpayer, you know, the leader of the abortion industry around the world, how did people get behind that? How did Christians just keep giving their taxes for the mass murder of innocent babies? And I think this is an opportune moment where a lot of people are looking at Donald Trump and this administration's activities, mm-hmm. saying, well, you know, maybe we could pop back out into reality and start supporting this country again and building the infrastructure and using our taxpayer dollars to do something that is positive within the nation. I mean, even if we have time to do so, and we have a lot of damage to clean up. I mean, there's been a lot of damage and it's not done yet. Maybe people are feeling that way. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of work ahead, but the good news is that people are starting to wake up. Like, the pro-life movement has never been as strong as they have been at the moment right now. There is a certain sense of momentum that the pro-life movement has. And Planned Parenthood has experienced its worst year since its founding. Like, it has experienced so many clinic shutdowns. And not just the clinic shutdowns, but Planned Parenthood has also had to put up with all these, a flurry of different bills that have come in, including Georgia's heartbeat bill that has just come in. And there's Kentucky and many other states that have begun to outlawing abortion in different capacities. So it's encouraging. I mean, if you're a passionate pro-lifer, then there's a lot for you to be encouraged about this year, which is absolutely fantastic. And movies like Unplanned, and there's another one before that called Gosnell, which was a one on Kermit Gosnell, the horrific abortionist who ran a clinic in Philadelphia, who basically did some of the most horrific crimes with killing newborns. But yeah, movies like this are starting to prick the consciousness of Americans, which is fantastic. By the way, a pro-abortion newspaper columnist wrote after she had reviewed the Unplanned, she said, by the end of the film, I was completely distraught, questioning everything I had ever believed about what abortion really was. Isn't that
how
great?
Yeah, it is great. How was it possible that people just consciously could not understand that when you're reaching into a woman's womb and you are taking hold of a what they call a fetus, which is blood, cell, and tissue, even though yet unformed, we know that life is in the blood. It's not in the breath. It is in the blood. And so how does your conscience become so darkened to not see that this is just a simple reality? It was against the law for hundreds of years in our country. And all of a sudden in 1973, because of that 1960s movement, you know, the sexual revolution, the explosion, you know, we start legalizing these things. I mean, how could we not have had a conscience to these things? Now we're talking astronomical numbers of mass murders and innocent blood being shed on the altars of sacrifice. We are such a hypocritical nation in so many different ways. How do we avoid the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the justice of God upon this nation, Daniel? Because we've already seen so many stripes, so many blows, and yet we as Christians, we're to work while there's light, we're to occupy until he comes. So how does this all fit together?
Yeah, that's a great question. And here's the thing. I mean, Americans not only need to be focused on the reversing of Roe versus Wade, they need to be focused on the reversing of the sexual revolution. Reversing Roe versus Wade is only half of the battle. I mean, what was the very thing that triggered Roe versus Wade? The very thing that triggered Roe versus Wade, that built up momentum in order for Roe versus Wade to make its way to the Supreme Court, was the sexual revolution. The sexual revolution paved the way for Roe versus Wade. Why? Because you had thousands upon thousands of teenage girls getting pregnant as a result of the sexual revolution. And so there was an outcry on what to do with all these babies being coming into the world. So they decided that they had to legalize abortion. Now, if there's anything that really brings home the scripture that says that the wages of sin is death, I mean, it doesn't really come any clearer than what abortion does, that the price of sin, that the wage of sin is death, and it ends in the death of an innocent child. So we need to be people, Christians need to be focused on reversing the sexual revolution, need to be focused on getting abstinence taught in schools instead of radical sexual agendas. So it's a huge feat. But the problem is that our society is already unbelievably soaked in sexual degradation. And so we have a society that is completely given over to sex. You know, I cannot help but think of the quote by Malcolm Muggeridge, who said that the orgasm has replaced the cross as the focus of longing and fulfillment. And boy, isn't that true about our current society?
Oh, it's powerful. What a powerful statement. Yeah, orgasm has been put on the altar as God and worshipped at the shrine. There's no doubt about it. And that's coming from and here's what I owe Rick Wiles, the president of TrueNews.com. We've met Rick. We've been in his little place down there in Florida and had some conferences along the way. And his son, Jeremy, I'll never forget this. We took our men through a class. He put together a Conquer series that had to do with men who were trapped in pornography. And he did an outstanding job. I've never seen anything like it. So precise, so accurate, how that pornography actually does damage to the brain. But he also brought up the weaponization of pornography, how the enemies of America actually used this pornography as a weapon to disarm the country, to break it down so that outside forces could come and have a more advantageous opportunity to take it because of what it does to a society. And so this whole revolution, this pornographic revolution, has been a real tactical warfare implementation against our country, and it has succeeded more wildly than they could have ever dreamed, Daniel.
Absolutely. In fact, the 45 communist goals, as read into the Congressional Record in 1963, this is all listed in the book by Cleon Skousen in The Naked Communist. So these are 45 communist goals that Cleon Skousen is an ex-FBI agent, and he put all these throughout his entire career in sitting in on and infiltrating communist meetings and wiretapping communist phone calls and getting all of their goals. He put them all together, and he came up with 45 communist goals. Now, you just mentioned in regard to using pornography as a weapon against America, and that's absolutely true. Now, point 24 and point 25 and even 26 is really important in highlighting what you just said. So point 24 says eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. That's what the communists wanted to do. That's point 24. Now get a load of point 25. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV.
Wow.
I mean, isn't that extraordinary? It's just amazing. And point 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy.
So, Daniel, you're saying that Cleon Skousen, who wrote the book, The 45 Goals of the Communistic Goals, are pornography, homosexuality, degeneracy. I have a friend texting right now, is listening to this from Michigan. He says, in the movie, we were talking about Unplanned, it was said that when people prayed outside the Planned Parenthood building fences, the no-show rate was as high as 75%. In other words, 75% of the people that would go into Planned Parenthood did not show up because of the prayer. He said his daughter left feeling hopeful about the effects of prayer. And he was left wondering if we have been shown the truth of America before its destruction. In other words, you know, the truth of our country, the ability to pray, the good people in our nation, the moral desire to return to our country. And, you know, that would be the heartbeat of revival and restoration, not in the religious sense of people swinging from chandeliers, but brokenness and repentance and prayer and humility. To show the validity that America was great because of the moral people within the nation. So I think he makes an excellent point.
Absolutely. 100% agree.
Yeah. So let's get back to the weaponization of pornography, homosexuality. And what were the other goals here?
Yeah, well, basically breaking down the America's morality, which is a really big, big, big point. You need to understand that the enemies of the United States understood that America, its key strength was its religious life, its strong morality, its ethical ethics, and its moral values. The other one was its patriotism. Those are the three things that the enemies of America had to confront, because those three things were the three pillars that were the nation's strength. And what is interesting, though, is that Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote in his book Gulag Archipelago, in regard to his experience during the gulags, Stalin's gulags. Alexander Solzhenitsyn actually survived Stalin's gulags and wrote a book about it. And he wrote something really interesting because he begins to explain what communism actually needs in order for it to flourish. So he writes this. He says, it was Dostoevsky, once again, who drew from the French Revolution and its seeming hatred of the church the lesson that revolution must necessarily begin with atheism. That is absolutely true, Solzhenitsyn says, but the world had never before known godlessness as organized and militarized and tenaciously malevolent as that practiced by Marxism. Within the philosophical system of Marx and Lenin, and at the heart of their psychology, hatred of God is the principal driving force, more fundamental than all their political and economic pretensions. Militant atheism is not merely incidental or marginal to communist policy. It is not a side effect, but the central pivot to achieve its diabolical ends. Now listen to this. Communism needs to control a population that is devoid of religious and national feeling, and this entails a destruction of faith and nationhood. Communists proclaim both of these objectives openly, and just as openly put them into practice. Wow, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is amazing. And let me just, compliment what you're saying here. And this is interesting, and you're going to need to speak into this because I guess it's this week or next week where Netanyahu is going to be – there's an election in Israel to see whether he's going to remain in office or not, which there's no reason why he wouldn't. It just kind of appears that way. But when talking about the weaponization, one more time, of pornography, homosexuality, here it says – In every article, and this has to be understood, that I could find on the internet about that, pornography is deployed today as a psyop or mind weapon to pacify, control, brutalize, and ultimately enslave the masses. And then the Italian Freemason Giuseppe Mazzini said, "We corrupt in order to rule." And then the question was this: how do you take a nation of free and independent citizens and turn them into slaves? How do you do this slowly and imperceptibly without violence and with the willing participation of the slaves to be? The answer is simple. You corrupt them, undermine them, deprave them, demoralize them until they have acquired all the characteristics of slaves. Now, Daniel, here's the hard part of this that needs to be understood. While you're talking about the 45 planks of the communist goal, every article about this is how Jews use pornography to destroy Gentile morals. And the part here is, who are the richest and most successful entrepreneurs of the $100 billion a year porn industry? Well, the peddlers of pornography belong to all races, but one race above all stands out as preeminent in this field. Selling sex, like slave trafficking and money lending, has always been a Jewish specialty. And there are just many, many articles like this, every one of them pointing to the pornography industry in the United States, which is basically owned and run by the Jews, not the God-fearing Jews, more apostate Jews and so on like this. So you think about the George Soroses, you think about people that are, laboring in the world that they are Jewish, but they're not the kind of Jew we're talking about. So how do you put this together?
That's a great, great question, and I'd love to address that. But just tying in with what in regard to the pornographic as a tool to completely destroy morality. Karl Marx himself said that communism abolishes eternal truths. It abolishes all religion and all morality. Isn't that interesting? And the other thing, it says, This is Alexander Solzhenitsyn commenting on morality. He says, communism has never concealed the fact that it rejects all absolute concepts of morality. It scoffs at any consideration of good and evil as indisputable categories. Communism considers morality to be relative, to be a class matter. Depending upon circumstances in the political situation, any act, including murder, even the killing of thousands, could be good or it could be bad. Wow. Mm. Now, back to what you were saying in regard to how the amount of Jews that are actually behind some of these things. I mean, I just quoted to you Karl Marx. Karl Marx himself was a Jew. Now, many of the Frankfurt School academics who were behind the cultural Marxism that we're seeing in the world today, for example, Herbert Marcuse, Max Horkheimer, Theodor Adorno, Eric Fromm, and a whole bunch of others were Jewish as well. So here's the thing. To the anti-Semite, you can really build a case to add fuel to the fire for their anti-Semitism. But here's the thing that people need to understand. There are two sides of the coin. There are two sides of the story that need to be shared, because not only are there Jews that have been involved in bringing a lot of evil, there is also the other side of the story is that have been many, many Jews that have also brought about a lot of good. And that's what people need to hear. And the devil doesn't want that side of the story to get out. He only wants people to understand all of the evil things that the Jews have done. Now, some of the leading names that are pushing back against the left in the world at the moment are actually Jewish. For example, Ben Shapiro is Jewish. Dennis Prager and his organization, Prager University, one of the largest weapons in fighting back against the left. He's a Jew. And then you have Alan Dershowitz. And then you have the head of the Jay Sekulow, the head of the ACLU. Is that right? I think I've got that correct. But Jay Sekulow. And then you have Dr. Michael Brown. All these wonderful people who were Jewish, who are pushing back again. Oh, the other one is David Horowitz. David Horowitz as well. He's an ex-communist. So both his parents were communists, but now he's a conservative and he's fighting back against the left. So we have all these Jewish people that are doing wonderful things in trying to stop the movement. And, it really is a paradox when you really think about this, because why is it that so many Jewish people are in all these different high positions and positions of influence and things like that? And the answer to that is, well, there's two answers to that. Why? One of the reasons why the Jewish people are so involved in politics, and especially on the left side of politics, one of the reasons why, I mean, what was one of the callings of the Jewish people? One of God's callings of the Jewish people was to be a priest. He wanted the Jews to be a priest unto all nations. He wanted the Jews to be priests. So they will be like the middleman in a priestly responsibility and bringing people to God, in interacting with people in regard to being the mediator in between them and God. Now, that's interesting, because what we see is that when Jews reject Jesus, when Jews reject God and they become atheists, they tend to lean toward politics, upon themselves the responsibility to usher man into a political utopia. They have this, I think it's only described as a responsibility that they take upon themselves to introduce man to a utopian paradise. But of course, it's going to fail, as it has always failed. Now, here's the other reason. Here's the other reason. God has, through Abraham, has blessed the Jewish people. He has blessed them, and there's no way to reverse that. And this is part of the Abrahamic covenant. And that Abrahamic covenant is a everlasting covenant that is still in effect today, to this day. Now, God has blessed them, the Jewish people, to be successful in whatever they put their hands to, whether it be for good or whether it be for evil. And that's what people need to understand. God has blessed them, and they are blessed, and they are blessed to be successful. But here's the thing. They are successful whether they put their hand to being good or whether they are or whether they're evil. Whether the things that they focus on are good or whether they're evil, they will be successful at both. And this is why some of the most successful people in regard to some of the most evil plans that we see in the world today, that's why we see many of them are Jews. But that said, some of the things in the world today that are the most good are also, the Jews are also behind. So this is why we also have a over-representation of Nobel laureates. When you look at all the Nobel laureates, when you look at the Jews, there is a massive over-representation of them. It's just extraordinary when you see the amount of Jews represented among the sciences, among all the different branches of science. And when you look at all the different philosophers and things like that, many of them are all Jewish people, because they are functioning out of both their priestly responsibility, but also the fact that they're operating out of the blessing that God has placed upon their lives.
You know, that's excellent commentary about all of this, and it's a balanced approach, I believe, to a really genuine problem. I want to read another quote here, and I guess we're just kind of fencing a little bit, you know, because I really think our listeners need to understand what is happening. This Dr. Nathan Abrams, who is a Jewish academic historian, published in the prestigious Jewish Quarterly in 2004, and he talked about how the world's multi-billion dollar porn industry was dominated by Jews. And here's what he said. He said that Jews are the world's most successful pornographers. And listen to this. He celebrates the fact Jews, he tells us, have a grudge against Christianity, an atavistic hatred of Christian authority rooted in centuries of humiliation, and pornography is one of the ways in which they get their revenge on their Christian persecutors, the hateful oppressors who expelled them from 109 countries since the year 250 AD, always without justification. So it's now payback time. He says Jewish involvement in pornography has a long history in the United States, and though Jews make up only 2% of the American population, they have been prominent in pornography. And I'll stop it right there. And, you know, just the other side of the coin, right, Daniel?
Yeah. Yeah. And there is certainly a lot of truth to that. I mean, they have been successful, you know, and they're, you know, this is why communism and the Jewish people, socialism and the Jewish people, have really, I mean, if you go into the 1960s, even if you go back even further, like in Israel, all of the kibbutzes in Israel were pretty much socialist communes. In fact, even communist communes, you know, like many of the Jews living in the kibbutzes were pretty much all communists, all socialists. So, you know, and by the way, as an added in extra, Bernie Sanders actually lived on one of these kibbutzes for a while. And, you know, and they would celebrate whenever it was Vladimir Lenin's birthday. So this is why there is such a strong left wing within Israel, which is they are working very, very hard to bring down Benjamin Netanyahu. This also explains why the vast majority of Jews in America vote Democrat. They vote Democrats because the vast majority of them actually lean left. And yeah. Also, too, part of that, with what you mentioned, Pastor Vincent, in regard to the they have a grudge against Christianity, is that the Republican Party is the, really the party of the evangelical Christian. And so Jews actually kind of vote Democrat, again, as part of that animosity, which is really sad. And and here's the thing, because they are only going to vote their way into harm because the Democrat Party is becoming more and more anti-Semitic, which is a growing concern. I mean, Ilhan Omar and the others within the Democrat Party are becoming more and more anti-Semitic, and it's the Democrat Party is kind of going down the same road as the British Labour Party, whereas the Jeremy Corbyn at the in the UK Labour Party, that party has virtually become institutionally some anti-Semitic. And the Democrat Party is facing a very worrying a very worrying season ahead, considering with what's going on within that party. And this is, again, this is all part of God's plan, because in the future, it's not really going to matter to the Jew if he votes left or whether he votes right. I mean, at the end of the day, anti-Semitism is springing up in every corner of the globe, and it's really worrying.
Yeah, and this is a conversation, Daniel, and I do apologize to a degree for even going into this conversation, but it is important that people understand that pornography, homosexuality is not just a migration of progress in the human psyche. It is an actual weapon that has been employed to bring the nation to a place of total destruction. Here's another gentleman, Al Goldstein. He's the Jewish pornographer, and this is really shocking. But Al Goldstein, the publisher of Screw Magazine, had once said, and Dr. Abrams is happy to quote him, "The only reason that Jews are in pornography is that we think that Christ sucks." And Dr. Abrams' indulgent attitude to porn is a little surprising. Here's a man who actually believes that Jewish domination of the porn industry is a stunning achievement. And I don't even want to quote the rest of this, but here's my point. You know, whether it's coming from the left, the right, whether it's coming from the Jews, the Gentiles, you know, we see back to abortion, the millions and millions and millions of innocent babies being killed. The porn industry has now gone into child porn, pedophilia. It's a horrid corridor to go down to see what's really going on, where there are over 2.7 billion people on the internet watching pornography, and a lot of it, like 55%, is now moving into child pornography, pedophilia. So we want to live in a world where we believe everything is normal. We want to believe it's going to get better. We want to believe it's good. And we're looking at one issue after another. But the major themes of spiritual war, the contamination coming out of Hollywood and the porn industry, is still, you know, running rampant throughout the earth. And men's minds are getting involved in these things, and their brains are literally being eaten up, is the scientific fact. And so how do we as Christians, you know, live in this world with our families, and we want to love, and yet we've got blood on our hands, and we're being brought into slavery through these mechanisms of war. You know, how do we react to all of this?
Oh, I tell you what, you know, we need to do everything we possibly can to guard our heart. We have to guard our heart in this in this time, and we need to ensure that we wear our helmets of salvation. We need to protect our minds. We're going to be very careful what we allow into our minds. Because here's the other thing, you know, Proverbs talks about that, where the writer of Proverbs, I think it's Solomon, where he's talking to his son, and he says, "My son, do not go after her. Do not reduce yourself to a loaf of bread," which I think is really interesting. And what people have done, in fact, this is what America and the West have done collectively, is that the men have reduced themselves to a loaf of bread. They have basically taken themselves and they have debauched themselves. They have basically depraved and they have made them absolute at base. They have completely debased themselves. And this is why, this is all part of the reason why we've seen such a dumbing down, because we have become so. And here's another thing, a study into the effects of pornography has also discovered that men become more juvenile. Men become more juvenile the more that they become infatuated with pornography. The more they become addicted to it, the more juvenile they become, which I thought was a very interesting finding. And it also diminishes their intelligence. Like it literally, this is also a weapon that causes the dumbing down. But more than that, what it actually does is that it makes a man unable of self-governance. It basically enables man, once he gets that hook of pornography in his mouth, it leads down a path toward enslavement. And as it is enslavement for the individual, as it is enslavement for the collective, even enslavement for the nation, which is a sobering thing to behold.
Yeah, it really is. And the fact of the matter, and you're bringing up some excellent points for our listeners today, because we do live in a world where we're one click away. And there's an old phrase in the drug culture that once is too much and 1,000 times not enough. And when it comes to pornography, it's that way, because the powerful impression that is left upon the mind is so powerful. When one sees an image of actual pornography, that image will stay in a man's mind, and it will go over and over again just once. And you have to labor to get that out of your mind. So you can imagine how many men who had great potential to do great things were hooked, and you use that word, hooked, in their mind with an image of pornography. Once is too much, 1,000 times is not enough, and that's where the addiction comes in, and it literally leads that man or woman into faraway places from what they were originally intended to be, and they become slaves to this and die in that condition.
Yeah.
I mean, this is deadly, Daniel.
It's absolutely catastrophic. And so I heard somebody say that it's a click away, and it stays with the man. Once it gets in there, it stays with them. In fact, I heard somebody say that within the minds of many men, there is a red light district within the minds of many men. Mm-hmm. A red light district within the minds of many men. And it's very, very sad and very tragic. And this is why we, as parents, we need to be extra vigilant to protect our children from this.
Right.
The internet is it's a minefield. And this is why we have to exercise extra caution, extra diligence and vigilance to make sure that our children are protected from this. Because if we don't, you know, just one click and their minds are forever altered. And that's a terrifying thing to behold.
It is. And when you think about that young man that is turning on and he comes across this site, he sees these things. Well, he doesn't come out and say, "Hey, mom and dad, guess what I did today?" Normally the demonic spirit enters in with that pornography. Pornography is a doorway to demonic spirit to take a place in that young man's soul. He hides this, he buries this, and he carries this. He has an outward mask on, but he's got a deep secret. And when nobody's around, like that man in the days of Joshua buried the gold wedge beneath his tent, you know, at nighttime you can see him digging it up and beholding that Babylonian garment and that gold wedge. It becomes a secret, and bondage really settles in. So how we got into this conversation today, Daniel, I'm not really sure, but maybe there's a warning out there for our listeners, for ourselves. We live in such a volatile world. We're away. You could click a button and be brought into a world that could take your entire spiritual Christian life. How many pastors in the 1990s, over 10,000 pastors in one denomination were found to have lost their pulpit because of pornography or adultery in the workplace. Daniel, it's a crisis.
It is. You know, and to share another quote by Malcolm Muggeridge, he says that sex is the erads, or the substitute religion of the 20th century.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, this is a sick world we are living in, said Dr. William Pierce, and there's no doubt it's true, and it needs a great physician. And what the Trump administration needs to do, we need to do something about it, right? And what they need to do is go into Hollywood and shut down the pornography industry, and they'll say, well, that's not democratic. Everybody has a free right. But if it's a weaponized destruction and it's killing our youth and destroying our society, then why not declare war on it?
Oh, there are some states have actually declared that it's a public health crisis. I forget which states have actually declared that, but there are some states have actually declared that it's a public health crisis because of what it's actually doing to men, you know, and the fact that it's destroying marriages, you know, and so. But this is the thing, like, I don't think we can actually do it directly. This is, has to be something where there is a plan or a strategy that we need to put in place where we can do it by steps. But the end goal needs to be the eradication and the banning of pornography. If we can bring down that gigantic monster that's worth hundreds of billions of dollars, and you know, man, it will take the body of Christ will really have to pray and fast, pray and fast to see that gigantic giant pull down.
It's absolutely, it's a global epidemic, and all those billions of dollars are being used to persuade policy and legislation. And you know, it's not just a gentle, hey, I made a bunch of money. Yes, the ideal reality is that the Holy Spirit would bring such a conviction upon the porn stars, men and women. But when you have an outright vitriol of hatred against God and against Christ, only the Holy Spirit could turn that heart around. I mean, only the Spirit of God.
That's right.
The Apostle Paul was, you know, he was contrary to Christianity. He got born again, right? So maybe we need to start in that direction, that those that are in control of this pornographic industry, they get born again. But here's the problem. Even in Arkansas, it's against the law. There's no pornography here in Arkansas, in Northwest Arkansas. It's like a little protected bed. But at the same time, people in Northwest Arkansas could click a button. They could turn on their TV and have access into the most gut-wrenching, life-changing horror they've ever dreamed. And it's over. We have a couple of minutes left, Daniel.
Yeah.
Finalize this moment with us. Pray us out into a better place today.
Well, you need to look into the story of Israel. Remember when Barak, I'm trying to think of the story, but the Gentile king came up with a strategy. He could not defeat the Israelites because they were too strong.
Balaam.
So he came up with a plan. That's right, Balaam. And the plan was to actually send the Midianite girls into the camp, to send the girls into the camp and to entice the men. And that was the strategy, and the strategy worked. They sent the women in, and they tempt them through sexual liaisons, and that's how they brought the nation down. And this is exactly the same strategy that the enemy is doing right now against the West. You know, it's tearing away at the pillar of morality. You know, I mean, the other two pillars are being eroded away too. You know, and that's the pillar of patriotism and nationalism. And the other pillar that's being eroded is the religious life. So America is under attack. It's under assault. And so we need to pray, and we need to understand the culture war. We need to fight back. You need to understand your enemy, know thy enemy, and educate yourself. And when that happens, you can begin to take steps to fight back. First step to do that is prayer. That is absolutely important. Prayer with fasting. Prayer with fasting is the most incredible combination that you could ever possibly imagine. Fasting supercharges your prayers. It really is the most underrated weapon that we have in our arsenal, and we need to start using it.
Amen. Daniel Seckham, once again, enlightenment. Thank you so much for joining me on the air. I apologize. We've just run out of time. I've got to get to Kerm Radio today, where I'm going to continue this discussion. Daniel, if you're awake, call in. We need to keep this going because people need to wake up, be aware, put on the armor of God, and realize there is a defense, a supernatural protection that God will afford his people. So once again, Daniel Seckham, thank you for calling in today. We'll talk to you real soon. Shabbat, everybody. Go to omegaradio.org, where a Christian Bill of Rights roundtable discussion is now underway. Until we meet again, I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Shalom, and God bless you.